pretty serious prayer request this morning. Very serious prayer request. Let me give you one quick thing. My sister, my oldest sister, she's gone home to be with the Lord. There was a point where she was driving down the road, not sure what happened. She crashed. They didn't know she was there because she went into some wooded area, kind of. The policeman got there and called it in and said, "We have a fatality." She was pronounced dead at the scene. Don't know how long all that lasted. They called paramedics. They came basically to get the body. One of the paramedics got there, and he said that something was just telling him, at least try. Don't know how long she was dead. Started doing CPR. Got to the hospital. She was alive. But the doctor said there's no way. There is no hope. She's gone. We have her on life support, so there's nothing we can do. I'm afraid there's nothing we can do. She's gone. At best, she might make it a few hours, at best, through the night. I was in Baltimore, Maryland at this time. They called me, hysterical, started praying. They were praying. She made it through the night. Made it through the next night, and I drove home 24 hours. She was still alive. The doctors were saying there's no hope. There's no way she's going to make it. We don't even know why she's still here. So it was going up to Mother's Day, all this was going on. I stayed that week, got ready to leave. So every time we'd be in the room with her, I would be in there with her daughters. We'd just be saying, "The blood of Jesus. Devil, you're a liar. In the name of Jesus, with God, all things are possible." We just spoke the word, pleading the blood, spoke the word. So last day, I got ready to go in there and tell her goodbye. I was going back home. She reached up and grabbed my hand. Like, what in the world? How are you grabbing my hand, girl? The doctor says you're not supposed to be able to do this. So she was trying to talk, but they had all the stuff, tubes in her, and we were all just so taken back. And so I'm like, "If you can understand me, squeeze my hand." And I didn't know what else to say, and she was like, "You big dummy, I'm squeezing your hand now." But she just couldn't say it. But a week or so later, she was at home, walking around. In her right mind, they were telling us, "Okay, she's coming out of this, but there's no way she'll ever be able to go home." God said, "No, you're a liar." Amen. God said, "I'm the healer. I have the last word." And so she went home and she lived 2 more years plus a normal life. In her right mind, going around testifying about what God did in her life. Amen. Speaking life, telling about what God has done. It's not over until it's over. Let me just say it one more time. I don't think y'all heard me this morning. It's not over until it's over. Now, when you close your eyes in death and you wake up on the other side, it's over then, baby. Where you are, you are. If you're in heaven, then you're in a great place because it's over for you. But if you're in hell, you're in a horrible place because it's over for you. But it ain't over on this side until it's over. So hold on. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Hold on to the promises of God. If God said it, we can hold on to it. If God said it, we can believe it. We can confess it. And we can see it come to pass. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Man, I hadn't even started preaching yet, but that's some good stuff right there, I tell you. It encourages me. I'm full this morning. I know there's no way I can get through all of this. I'm not even worried about it. But at least I'm going to make a good start. Today I want to talk about the deceptiveness of fear. the deceptiveness of fear. You know, at one point, I remember as a child, they took me to see the movie. It just came out, The Exorcist. I did say I was a child. I don't know, I was about 8 years old, I'm not sure. Why they drugged me to that theater to see The Exorcist, I don't know. I remember sitting there as a child. It was a horror movie. It was one of the cutting edge horror movies. You don't even know what it is, do you? You're making me feel really old. Don't do that to me. Yeah, a lot of you don't even know what the movie is. So it's a movie about this exorcist, this guy, I think this priest, I don't know, who was an exorcist, and his job, his thing was he could cast out demons, and they gave him this real hard case. And this girl was demon-possessed, and they showed her doing all kind of demonic stuff, and I was sitting there like this and like this and like this. Really, I was really, really doing this. I was just, and I left that theater and I walked away with a spirit of fear. Fear gripped me as a child and it was all over me. And I couldn't sleep for weeks. I was afraid that demon was going to come and get me, grab me. I had a spirit, a demon of fear attached to me when I left that theater. And it terrorized me. It paralyzed me with fear. But I didn't know as a child, as I was going through that time in life, that I would become an exorcist. And I would cast out demons. And that fear would not stay on me, but now I would, as a man of God, I'm like, if you got demon problems, you might have just came to the right place, because we are not afraid to demons. In my name, Jesus said, you will cast out demons. So anyway, but I was caught up in fear, and as I began to study for today, amen. The Lord just kept saying, my people are bound in fear. His people, church people, have spirits of fear. And many, many of us walk around every day afraid, afraid of that day, afraid of tomorrow. You see, Let me step back a couple of years. Anybody remember this thing called COVID? Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe. It's hard to remember. It's so long ago. This thing called COVID came upon us, and it was like a dress rehearsal for the Antichrist. Basically, it was a dress rehearsal for the tribulation period. Because all kind of things began to change. I remember sitting back watching TV thinking, are these states literally changing the election laws midstream during a election? But that's okay, because COVID said you can do that. And I remember watching businesses shut down, churches shut down, restaurants shut down, but the essential businesses and peaceful protests could keep going strong. But it was okay. It was okay because the country was in fear. And if you got to shut it down, because whatever you got to do, just get us back to normal. Parents were stuck at home with their kids because schools were shut down. They were like, kids were like, who are you? Their parents were like, who are you? We're not accustomed to being home with our kids. We don't even like each other. In some cases, that was true. Because they had given their kids to the educational system saying, here, you raise my child. You teach my child. But as they sent home, one of the blessings of that was they began to understand, man, I got some demons teaching my kids some demonic stuff. I got to get back in control of my child's education system. That's one of the good things that happened. We saw a world accept so many things that just a few months before would have never been allowed. But because of the spirit of fear, we were like, I'll take it. Just give me back to normal. Whatever you can do, get me back to normal. It was a dress rehearsal. If the Antichrist is alive and well today, he was sitting back saying, you know what? This thing works. Fear works. I know what I need to do now. I know what I need to do. If I'm going to have a system to where I'm going to have everyone on planet Earth tell them you have to take a mark to buy or sell, I know what works now. And so it brought all of these countries together, leaders got together, organizations got together. You had the World Health Organization, who rose up to be this dominant force, who says, hey, we will come in and we'll help you. We'll help be the savior. And we will help save the world from this pandemic. And so all the countries said, I'm in. I'm in. I will fall underneath your umbrella. And I know I digress on this whole thing, but I'm getting you to see something. When we allow fear to lead us, we will be led down a very bad road. A very bad road. And if we, as the church of the living God, if we don't take a step back and say, wait a minute, I can't go with the world. I can't just go along with the world. I can't just be like the world. I can't just believe like the world. I've got to stand on the word of God. God's word is bigger, is better than anything the world can give me. You know, I was up early this morning. Oh, man. I hadn't even read my first note yet. I might be in trouble with this one. I don't think I'm going to make it through it. So anyway, I'm up this morning reading about 3:30 this morning. I'm on the World Health Organization's website. And I'm just reading all of this stuff. And I'm reading, like, who are they? Who is the who? What do they believe in? And here are some of the things that top lines. COVID is still a thing. Don't think it's gone away. Number one. Number two, monkeypox is still a thing. Don't think that's gone away. And then it's talking about the war in Ukraine and all this stuff. And then I began to read. I'm looking for, where is the part about religion? That's what I'm looking for. And finally, I got to the part that says, we are not a religious organization, but we take all religions into under our umbrella. We accept you all. And as the more I read, I thought, man, we are being set up for the end times. You know, I believe two things is going to happen soon. Number one, either we're going to go into a time of a national awakening, or we're going to be raptured out of here, because we're on the Titanic right now. We're riding the Titanic and we're heading towards the end times, and there's nothing we can do to swerve out and miss that iceberg called the tribulation period. We're either going to be a rapture soon, or it's going to be a revival soon. And I'm believing God for both. I'll take a little bit of both. I'll take some revival, and I'll definitely take the rapture. Hallelujah. So experts say at least 25% of us in this room, one out of four of us, has a fear or a phobia. Experts say that. Now, you know experts are always right. Always right. Exactly. They say one out of four people have fears and phobias. And you know some of them, like fear of heights, fear of snakes, fear of spiders, fear of rats, two-legged and four-legged, fear of needles. Some people say I have claustrophobia. What's that mean? Closed in. You all know. So phobias, fears and phobias, people are afraid of all kinds of things. But there are some stuff, I don't know if you realize, people are fear of. There are people who are afraid of hair. Hair. Water. Dentist. Heard Pastor Joe talking about that Wednesday night. He said he loves going to the dentist because of the dental hygienists who work there. some people, yes. Mirrors, sunlight, water. Some people are afraid of people. They won't even go out in public. And I've known a few of those people. All kinds of fears and phobias. But so here's the thing. I believe fear is a byproduct of something. I believe fear comes for a reason. I think there's something that happens that drives a person to fear. And you know what that thing is? I believe that deception breeds fear. I believe fear is a byproduct of deception. Now, where in the world did I get that from? That's a great question. Pastor's like, where did he get that from? Deception. What does it mean to be deceptive? Deceptive is having the ability to call someone to accept that which is false as if it were true. So fear says, wow, look at all that hair. I'm going to die. Do you think that's true? Deception. Deception is the ability to persuade someone to believe a lie as if it were the truth. So I read this last time I preached, Matthew 24, 3 and 4. It says, now as he sat Jesus on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And then Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. So he said deception will be one of the earmarks of the end times. Deception. Deception. And we see it all around us. And so because deception is one of the earmarks of the last days, the more deception you have, I believe the more fear you're going to have. 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this, and we hear it all the time. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. How do you leave something that you're never a part of? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits. New King James says deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So in the last days, Jesus says, take heed that no one deceives you. Paul said, look for deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Some translations say it this way. A lot of translations says paying attention to, giving heed to, paying attention to seducing spirits, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Do you know the more you pay attention to something outside of the Word of God, the more chances are you're going to walk in deception? So let's see. Do I want to read the Word or do I want to watch CNN tonight? Which one do I want? Which one has the most truth? I'll watch CNN. The more you put into your ears and eyes in 2023 and beyond, the more chances of deception you're setting yourself up for. We live in a culture, we live in a time where deception is just, it's just everywhere. Just everywhere. So 1 Timothy 2:14 says this. It says that it wasn't Adam who was deceived, but it was Eve. It says she was deceived. So Paul took it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. He said, let's talk about deception. And let's see where deception comes from. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And so in Genesis 3 is where we read the story of Adam and Eve. And that's where that old devil came along, the serpent, and he began to whisper in Eve's ear and said, well, I know God said this. However, yeah, I know God said it. And Eve knew what God said. So Genesis chapter 3, turn that with me. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 3, it starts out by saying this. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast, Genesis 3:1, of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, who said? Oh, okay. You think that's important? Okay. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So she quoted 100% of the truth. She said, this is what God said. Then in verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, remember that deception will make you think a lie is the truth and the truth is the lie? So in verse 4, he says, oh, you won't die. You shall not. You shall not surely die. Now, I want you to think about something. Here is Eve, who was created and placed in a perfect garden, a perfect environment, a perfect place. She had never been lied to. She'd never been hurt. She's never been disappointed. She didn't know what fear was. She didn't know what unbelief was. She didn't know what anything that falls underneath the realm of this sinful world was. Perfect. She was perfect. Adam was perfect. Perfect in mind. Perfect in body. In a perfect relationship in the loving God that created them. And here comes the devil. And what did he say? Oh, that guy, God, he's lying to you. Deception. And she believed it, according to 2 Timothy 2. She was deceived. She believed the deception. You know what? During praise and worship, this came to me. If the devil can get Adam and Eve to believe that their perfect, loving creator lied to them, why am I surprised when people lie on me? Why am I surprised when somebody might tell a lie about me? Why am I surprised when somebody might say something about David that might be a little untrue? Why are you surprised when people might say something about you that might not be true? Why are you surprised when the devil might tell you something about yourself that might be a lie? We can't listen to every voice that we get in our head about you, about others. So, verse 5, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat it, and gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat, the big dummy. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, verse 8. So what just happened? What's the key word that just happened? Deception. Deception. So let's read verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from all loving God, from the presence of the Lord God. Hang on, let me go back. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And listen at this. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And what did Adam say? I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Fear. I was afraid. Deception came in, and what's the first thing the devil wanted to do with them afterward? Fear. Fear and deception and fear. Fear and deception. When you have deception, the first thing the devil says is, if I can put fear on you now, you believe the lie. So now that you've opened the door up to the lie, let me tell you another lie. And the best lie he can tell you is something that will get you walking in fear. If he can get you walking in fear, he's got you. He's got you. Because you're believing a lie. Oh, my elbow hurt. I hope it's not X, Y, and Z. It's going to kill me. Oh, I hit my big toe and it's swollen. I hope this is not X, Y, and Z, because it might just kill me. I mean, fear takes over, and the small things become major things. And we find ourselves being, instead of giving ourselves to the voice of God, we're now giving our ears to the voice of fear. Once you open that door, brothers and sisters, you're in danger. You're in danger. Now, I've already told you, I know what it's like to walk with a spirit of fear hanging off my back like a backpack. I know what it's like, and it's a horrible feeling. And you know what I just can't wait for? When I finish this message today, I'm going to bind a spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear, if it is on your life, it's going to leave you today, and you're going to walk out of this place with a newfound freedom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So I want to look at an account and just call out a couple of things that happens when we are in fear. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 8 with me. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to start reading with verse 18. Matthew 8, 18. So we see that deception comes. And when deception comes, one of the enemy's favorite tricks he likes to give us is fear. And we see that fear is deception, because fear is a lie, because fear is contrary to the word of God. And anything that's contrary to the word of God is a lie. Let God be true, and what? Every man a liar. So in Matthew chapter 8 in verse 18, it says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So Jesus gave a commandment, we're going to go to the other side. And his disciples got in the ship with him. And behold, verse 24, there arose a great tempest or a great storm. We know all about storms here in South Louisiana. There arose a great storm. One version calls it a terrible storm. One version calls it a violent storm. There arose a storm in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. In verse 25, Matthew 8, verse 25, and his disciples came to him, and they woke him up, saying, what did they say? Jesus, we're about to die. Jesus, wake up and die with us. Wake up, wake up. We're all going to die. They said, Lord, save us. We're perishing. We're going to die. This situation is hopeless. In Mark chapter 4, verse 38, this is how Mark captured it. In Mark 4, 38, they said this, don't you care that we are about to perish? Jesus, don't you care we're all about to die? Do you think Jesus cared? Of course he did. And so with fear came the voice of deception. The voice of deception said, we're about to die. Jesus is sleeping, and he doesn't care that we're all about to die. That's what fear said. That's what they spoke out of their mouths. Don't you care that we're about to perish? And so when they finally woke Jesus up, I could just see him like, you're saying we're about to die. Is that what you're telling me right now? My disciples. He said to them, why are you fearful? He didn't even look at the waves. He didn't care about the storm. He didn't care about the rocking of the boat. He didn't care about the water that was coming. He said, first thing he addressed, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Once he addressed the fear, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Do you see how Jesus addressed the fear? Then he addressed the problem. It's the only way I can say this is to say it. When you go to God, or when you come up, even when you come up for prayer, you go to somebody, I call, Pastor Tardo, I need prayer. If you know you are being driven by a spirit of fear, you need to deal with that first. Where is your faith? How much faith do you have when you're quaking in fear saying, oh my God, I'm going to die. Somebody, how much faith do you have at that point? Now, of course, we get men of God, women of God to pray with us, believe with us, and we want them to come because sometimes your faith is just not there and you need somebody to agree with you. But let me tell you something. When you're standing on your own and you know that fear is messing with your mind, you need to go find a scripture. You need to go to the Word and say, the Word of God says, fear, you are a liar. I am not going to die because the Word of God says I will live and not die. The Word of God says if I call the elders and they come and anoint me with oil, I will be healed. in the name of Jesus. The Word of God said, I'm not going to lose my family, because God says, if you'll be saved, I'll save your household. If we get the Word of God, it will drive fear out of our life. And when you go to God confessing His Word, do you realize how much power that gives you? How much faith it gives you? I have prayed, my wife and I have prayed for a lot of people over the years. And there's been times, I'm not saying here, there's been times where people have come up to us for prayer and you can just see the fear in their eyes. Just see the fear in their eyes. And sometimes it's tough, because their faith is just, their faith is more in the fear and the problem than it is the Word of God. If you're putting more faith in your problem, guess what? I can't be open and just preach, right? Faithful word. We need to wake up. We got to get the Word in our hearts and lives. And just because you go to Faithful Word don't mean that when you leave here, you're not filling your mind with trash. What are you watching? What are you seeing? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? What are you allowing into your heart that's driving your faith out the other side? You think just because you're a Faithful Word member, you have an exemption to go do what you want to do when you leave church? I better ramp it down before I get in trouble. The amens have gotten quieter. <Don't> be... Jesus asked them, why are you walking in fear? How many parables? Pastor just got through doing a fantastic job of taking us through all the parables. I've learned a lot about parables that I never knew. Just fantastic job. But there's one parable Pastor forgot to preach on. The parable when Jesus taught his disciples to walk in fear, doubt, and unbelief. He forgot that one, Pastor. Oh, he couldn't find that. It doesn't exist. Oh, man, okay. Well, he got quiet, Pastor. Like, is David about to say something bad about Pastor? Pull him off the platform. I can't find one parable, one story, one point Jesus made where it's okay for you to walk in fear from time to time. It's all right, disciples. You should walk in fear. You'll never find it in the Word. And so here he is, and it's like this. With children, when our kids were small, we see them walking around the house with stuff like, where in the world did you get that from? You can baby-proof a house and they'll still find something they shouldn't have. And so we would ask them, where did you get that from? Give me that before you hurt yourself. That's what Jesus was asking. Where did you get this fear from? Where did this come from? I didn't give it to you. Give me that before you hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. God did not give us the spirit of fear. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. He did not give us the spirit of fear. And so when we're walking around in fear, I can just see him like, where did you get that from? Why are you walking in fear? What are you afraid of? Give me that before you hurt yourself. When people are walking in fear, it gives them the sense of hopelessness. And when you feel hopeless, that is detrimental to you. And sometimes it will even cause you to drive people away from you because you're walking in fear and you're so caught up in the fear to where you don't even realize sometimes the things that you're doing and the things that you're saying. And you will literally push people away from you because you're more caught up in the fear that's trying to torment you than you are in trying to love the people around you. That was deep. That was deep. Amen, Brother David. So, I've told you all about fear. So, what do we do about it? How do we get fear out of our lives? So, here is number one. It's not maybe the number one step, but it is the first thing I want to tell you about to overcoming fear. Never speak anything about yourself or other people that is contrary to the Word of God. Ooh. Never, let me just say that again. Never speak anything about yourself or other people that is contrary to the Word of God. Some conversations I get in, it's hard for me to even talk because I refuse to say negative things about myself or other people. It's hard for me to say negative things. I've just programmed my mind to speak the positive. Now, if you're walking in sin, I'm not going to say, oh, you precious little sweet thing, you're walking in sin. It's going to be all right. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when I talk about myself, you will not hear me say, oh, I have this sickness. You won't hear it. It's probably been 30-something years before I've confessed something like that about myself. You won't hear me talk about what the devil is trying to do in my life because my ears are listening. My heart is listening. And when I begin to talk about what he's doing and getting on his side and confessing what he's saying about me, then I'm not saying the right thing about myself. What does the word say about me? What does his report say about me? His report says I'm healed. His report says I'm going to be all right. His report says I don't care what I see them doing, my family is going to be saved. I know they're doing some crazy stuff. Eyes, why are you lying to me about the crazy stuff that I see some of my family members doing? Because the word says that they're saved. They're going to be saved. Anyway. You need to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Because what you're paying attention to goes into your heart, goes into your mind, and the word says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will begin to speak. So I'm going to ask you a question. What are you saying? And are you fueling the deception of fear in your own life by your own words? And if you are, you need to change your words today. Make it a proclamation. Put it in your heart. Tell yourself, this is it. I'm not going to talk trash about myself anymore. Some of you have a very negative view of yourself. And in the name of Jesus, right now, you need to stop it. Stop it today. Quit letting the devil get in your head and having you depressed saying, oh, you're not going to, oh, I'm not going to make it. This is not going to work out. This is hopeless. This is wrong with me. That is wrong with me. Man, if I spent time looking at all the stuff that was wrong with me, I wouldn't have time to do anything else. That sounded like a negative confession, didn't it? What does the word say about you? Speak the word about yourself. Whoo! Okay, number two. Understand that you can walk in peace, even in the middle of your storms. Don't feel bad about walking in peace, even with your storm. You can walk in peace. Jesus was asleep during the storm. He didn't wake up saying, oh, you're right. Oh, my goodness, why did I fall asleep on you? I'm so sorry. No, he was in peace, and it's okay for you to be in peace. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It doesn't make any sense for me to be in peace right now. The storm is going on around me. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But this is what verse 8 says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are said on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, think on those things. But brethren and sisterin, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think about those things. And if it doesn't fall under this list, if it's not virtuous, if it's not lovely, why are you thinking about it? You might have the storm raging around you, but don't let the storm get inside of you. Because there is a God raging on the inside of you. Let the Spirit of God on the inside of you, let that come out of you. Speak the word. You have the Holy Spirit in you, anybody? Is anybody saved in here? Is it anybody can say Christ is in me, the hope of glory? Speak what God is saying. Stir up the gifts that's in you. Fan the flames, Paul told Timothy. Stir up. Let that fire rage in you. I know I'm using a strange word, rage in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. I'm really trying not to get in trouble while I preach, because I want to preach again one day. One day. Third thing, I'm bringing it to a close. Stop looking at what did or didn't happen to other people when they prayed. Well, Sister Susie prayed and she didn't get it. Well, Brother David prayed and he didn't get it. They prayed and they still died. They prayed and they... Why are you looking at that? Is that what the Bible tells you to look at, what other people's experiences are?
No.
You look at the Word. You fix your eyes on the word and don't look around you at the wind and the waves and what's happening to everybody else. And when you fix your eyes on the word and get the word in you, the word will come out of you and you will see the results that the word says you should be seeing.
Amen,
Let me move on. Let me read this scripture about that point, though. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Can everybody turn there with me? Let's see. Okay. I'm really wrapping this up. I really am. I got this point and 18 more points, and I will be through. I promise by 6:45 p.m. tonight. Luke 11:11. I really want you to see. This is a, if you don't hear anything else I said, I want you to hear this. This is super important. Luke 11:11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Any parents in the house, let me see your hands. Raise your hand. Keep them up. Look around the room. Keep your hands. Parents. Okay. You can put your hands down. Parents, have you ever deliberately given your children rocks when they came to you saying, I'm hungry? Have you made dirt pies and given it to your children? Jason's like, maybe one time? I don't know. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Boy, you're hungry. Want fish. Take this water moccasin and get out of here. Take this rattlesnake and go play in the backyard. No. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, now let me talk to you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more will your Father give good things to you? When you pray, don't listen to the voice that says God's not going to do it. No. If you're evil and you give good things to your children, expect your Father to give good things to you. Expect Him to heal you. Expect Him to prosper you. Expect Him to heal your family. Expect Him to keep your marriage together. Last point. Receive. Last thing you can do, receive deliverance. Sometimes you need a spirit cast out. Sometimes you're walking in fear, and sometimes it's a spirit of fear. And sometimes you need good old-fashioned deliverance. And you need to say, in Jesus' name, I renounce this fear. I'm sick and tired of it. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. And you cast that thing out of you. That's what we're about to do right now. That's what we're about to do right now. Would you like for me to pray that God gets rid of the spirit of fear? Any takers in the house, or do I need to go sit down? All right. All right. Can anybody identify with this word today? Amen. 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 This is what we're going to do. You're going to just stay right where you are. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And you folks online who are watching online, I want you also to pray along with us. I've been praying for you. I've been praying that the same anointing that's in this room will be at your houses, on your phone, coming over the computers, whatever you're watching on. I'm believing God to see you set free, just like the people in this room. So this is what we're going to do. Very simple. I don't want fear in my life. And so we're going to tell fear, you better get out of here. And we're going to renounce it. We're going to renounce the deception that has been trying to tell us. We're going to cast that joker out. And we're going to go home in peace. So I want you to say this with me. Father God, I just heard your word. And your word says, you don't want me walking in fear. You want to give me good things. I don't want to be deceived and walk in fear. Right now, in Jesus' name, Father, I repent for allowing things to come into my mind, to come into my ears, to come through my eyes that has been displeasing to you. Father, forgive me for opening the door to deception in my life. Right now, in Jesus' name, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin. I now renounce the spirit of fear. I now renounce any deception that I have allowed in my life through television, through conversation, through false preachers and teachers, from the educational system, from the systems of this world. I renounce deception and fear in the name of Jesus. And I command fear to leave me right now in Jesus' name. I command all fear, all anxiety to go in Jesus' name. Get out. I don't want you. In the name of Jesus, I declare that I am free from fear. I am free from deception. And I choose and receive the peace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Praise God. Good word. Thank you, Jesus.